All right, it's a feel-good Friday. We're live in the First Midwest Bank State Street Studios. Crosstalk in an hour. It's Carmen and Yurko. Charlie Bevins and Randy Merkin helping out today. Bleck and Abdallah are, I think they're vacationing for the weekend with their lovely wives in Los Angeles.
Oh, at a wedding.
Oh, they're at a wedding.
The guy who, I didn't know this, Brandon O'Connor or something like that, or something. He does White Sox reports for him on their show. He hates the Cubs. He rips the Cubs.
O'Connor.
Yeah, I think I've heard him.
I thought he was just some listener. He's Brody? Like their best Brody? Friend growing up.
Okay, so well, how about that?
They're out in the wedding. He already got married, but this is the celebration.
I remember Chris was telling me about this, actually. Yeah, the guys were telling me.
Got married during the vid, and then wanted to have a celebration.
They're out in L.A. Abdallah's not here to, it's too bad, too. He conveniently ducks out of here when Nick Saban's in the news. I want to play Jimbo Fisher's rant.
I want to hear it.
Because it was great. Put Nick Saban in his place. I mean, Nick Saban's got to be kidding, right? Like, whining about the, I mean, come on. Well, we're going to cover some of that here coming up. Connor McKnight. 30 minutes from now, we'll talk White Sox, Yanks. Congrats to Bob from Michigan City. He knew that the church, the old Christ Church, is in the north end, of Boston. That's one, right. If by land, two, if by sea.
The north end, Carmen.
The north end, yes. The
north end. Another one of my trivia questions that I might have screwed up here during my game. Remember when I had the game?
There might have been a little.
There was a little bit of a discrepancy.
Little discrepancy.
Lexington, Concord, Trenton. I mean, really? Yeah. I mean, what are we doing? We all know the cities, right? Let's have a little fun.
The battles at Lexington.
Did they stop short or did they go all the way true? That's the question you got to ask.
Bob wins the Bill Bird tickets. We got Wolves playoff tickets to give away this hour. So the giving continues.
Yes, it's all we do.
We were talking about the old Yankee Stadium and the way it was set up. And I don't know if I had all those details correct. Larry in St. Charles might know. Hey, Larry.
Hi, guys. Yeah, they did a full remodel of the old Yankee Stadium in the mid-70s. I want to say it was 75. And the Yankees actually played that year at Shea Stadium for their home games. Mm. But the monuments absolutely before that were in play in center field.
There you go.
And the other thing they did was they actually moved the right field fence about 15 feet deeper. Mm. Back when Babe Ruth played and even when Maris was hitting all the home runs in 61, it was 296 feet. To the right field foul pole, which seems incredible in a major league stadium.
It does.
That's all it was.
That's amazing. Good knowledge. Good fact check there, Larry. We appreciate it, buddy. Can you imagine the monuments, right? You're like, you're running for a ball.
Yeah, and all of a sudden
you've got a monument in center field. I mean,
what's going on?
I thought I had that right.
Monolith, you know?
Yeah, like, really?
What's going on? An obelisk.
It is pretty cool, I will say. Merck, have you been? You love baseball in the
I've
history.
I've been to a Yankees Red Sox game.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, it is pretty awesome to walk around Monument Park before a game. Wouldn't you agree, Merck?
Yeah.
It is.
By the way, not so cool on the way home because I went with guys I used to work with, Bob Berger and Bruce Murray.
Yeah.
And we took the train or was.
I took the train when we went.
I don't know why. I mean, these Yankees and Red Sox fans were going back and forth, just picking on me.
What do you mean you don't know why? They're Yankees and Red Sox.
Yeah. I mean, you know why they're
picking. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was just sitting there, you know, minding my business.
Sometimes you don't have to do anything wrong. You just got to exist.
It's actually a very easy train ride from Manhattan, right? It's like, I don't know. One transfer from wherever we got on in Grand, I think Grand Central, you make one transfer, I think, and you're there. Pretty convenient. But it is cool to walk around and see Monument Park. And then their stadium in Tampa, where they train for spring training, is an exact replica of Yankee Stadium. And they have all the monuments. They might have it inside, too, but they've got them all wrapped around, like, one portion of the stadium where they've got all the guys' plaques that are in.
Wonderful. It's
the Yankees, man. Yeah. There's something mesmerizing about them, you know?
That's one of those things, if I never saw, I would not miss, I believe.
That's because you're a cynic and you're cold-blooded.
I'm a little bit of a jerk that way.
Yeah.
There are stadiums around the world that I'd love to be able to go see. And one
some
of these days
stadiums.
I will. I mean, we went to the new Wembley. We weren't at the old Wembley.
Right.
But we went to the new Wembley, and Wembley was pretty nice.
Yes.
All the amenities.
Wembley was nice.
We saw the Bears and Tampa Bay there.
Yeah, Wembley was definitely nice.
I wouldn't mind going to Spain, Madrid.
To see,
or Barcelona to see the Camp Nou or the Santiago Bernabeu.
Yeah, I knew you'd like those.
I never got a chance to go to White Hart Lane. I regret that. I was going to take me and the boys to White Hart Lane is where Tottenham plays. They tore that down. A very kind of like home atmosphere really gave the team an advantage. They tore the lane down and built the big thing they got. I'd never want to go to that one.
Really?
No. I don't want to go to that one.
All right.
I'll go to the others.
I was saying the Yankees still have, there's like that mystique about the Yankees, though, you know? And it's like,
yeah, it's got a mystique. I'll give you that.
The movie Catch Me If You Can. Remember when Christopher Walken tells him, he says, you know why the Yankees always win? Because the other team can't stop looking at the pinstripes. You know, there's something about, there is a mystique about them.
Whether I hope the White Sox go. Not. Yeah, whether you like it or not.
Well, I don't like it this week. Yeah, right, exactly. And I don't like it this week. I hope they go in there and they kick their tails around. It'd be nice. Exact a little revenge after you got pushed around in your building by the Yankees last week.
And they did get pushed around.
Yeah, they did. They won one game. Keuchel won that game. He starts tonight. The Sox are normally good against lefties. They got to face Nestor Cortes, though, and he's been fantastic. So we'll talk more about that with Connor McKnight when he joins us.
Yeah,
at,
I don't want to be the bearer of bad tidings, but happen to have golf on every single channel here.
You love it?
Morikawa was in the sand with, you know, 1 foot out, 1 foot in, you know, very difficult sand shot where, you know, we would usually, like, just get it out and it would roll right back into the sand.
Yes.
That's what Morikawa just pulled.
See, there you go.
Yeah, even the sand pros. Out into the ridge and it came right back.
Even the pros, Yurko.
Yeah, when I see him struggle like that and this type of thing, I'm like, it's okay. Now I feel better because I do it all the time.
Merck and I were watching earlier. I don't remember even who it was, but he missed like a two-footer. And we're like, oh, see? Even they missed two-footers.
Even the great ones. Now he put it within 3 inches.
So our buddy Randy in Seattle, who was in town in Chicago last week.
We saw him last week.
Randy, what's up, buddy?
Hello, boys. And it was great to see you. Like I said, I just wanted to tell you, Carmen, you are an absolute mensch. You came out, talked to me and my buddy Mike. I can't thank you enough for your hospitality. And Yurko, you're the same, man. Love you guys.
Thank you, Randy.
I'd have been out, but I had a commercial read, unfortunately.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I know you did. You're doing a read. But it was still great to be down there. Yurko, you said you're from the east side originally?
Yeah, east side of Chicago. Yep.
You said 97th, was it Commercial or Exchange?
Well, so 96th and Exchange, where I'm from, is actually Vets Park. Right there?
Yeah.
Once you cross the river, like if I was going to Golden Shell over there, the old Golden Shell, once you cross the river, that's considered the east side. The east side's got boundaries. On the north, it's the river that goes into Lake Michigan, and then it runs all the way south. That's considered the east side. Yeah.
Yeah. My mom was an east sider from 99th and Ewing. My dad was a west sider, and so I guess I'm a product of a mixed marriage.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Exactly right.
Yes, for sure. It's interesting anyway, how they bump into each other.
Somewhere. I mean,
there's got to be a story there.
You're somewhere in between.
my uncle Dave was driving. He was a delivery guy for South Chicago Fish, and he married my mom's sister.
There you go.
And he said, hey, I know a nice Jewish boy, because he was delivering stuff to my dad's place.
There's the tie-in. Randy, good talking to you, brother. Nice seeing you last week. Glad you made it into town, back home, and stopped by. He's been in Seattle like 25 years right now.
He loves
maybe
it out
longer,
there.
But Chicago, Chicago.
I'm glad Randy survived all the idiots out there in Seattle.
Well, okay, I'm glad.
Good for him.
So here's the Jimbo Fisher rant, and this is good. This all started with, you know, Nick Saban
mobbing off.
Crying about, like, Jimbo in Texas A&M paying NILs, right?
Right.
The name, image, likeness.
And Jimbo's not doing it. These individual players can go get their own deals wherever they want to.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
There just can't be a coordinated effort by all your alumni to get together and, you know, form like a pack to go ahead and start donating all types of money to everybody else.
I mean,
it's got to be individual deals.
Like, Nick Saban's got to be joking, right? Like, he's had basically a monopoly on recruiting
the best players in the country.
And the best players. He's the highest paid state employee in the state in which he works, making about $10 million a year. Alabama football's operating income, revenues last year, I think, was like $180 million. They got about a $900 million endowment. And like, really? Nick Saban's whining about the unfair practices and what Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M is doing to get recruits? And then Jimbo went on an epic rant back at his old boss. Remember, they were... Right, 4 years, I think.
Right, they worked together.
Yeah. Might not have been his boss when they were. I'm trying to remember. Did he work on his staff, Mark?
At LSU.
At LSU. Okay, there you go. So it definitely was. That's a long time ago when he was at LSU.
They were on each other's staffs.
Here's Jimbo in the rant.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws, that they're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the, and
the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things, and these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids. And their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you, the people who insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. But promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
Great rant by Jimbo Fisher. October 8th, boys. Circle it. Saturday, October 8th.
Texas A&M?
Texas
A&M.
In
Tuscaloosa,
right? Alabama. In Tuscaloosa. Now, sometimes my stats aren't like, I don't mean to be inaccurate. It's just out of football season. I don't have it maybe top of mind as I normally would in football season. Didn't Jimbo become the first former assistant to ever beat him last year?
Right? Yes. And then Kirby did it in the national championship.
Oh, that's right. Kirby did too. Duh. That's right, Charlie.
He was the first.
But Jimbo finally beat him last year. He was like 22-0 or something ridiculous against his former assistants.
By the way, Nick Saban did go on Sirius yesterday and apologize.
Well,
He probably shouldn't have called out specific people.
When he called out the kid at where Deion's coaching.
Right. Deion says he's not even making the 1,000.
Yeah, Travis Hunter, right.
Well,
yeah.
Jackson State, Deion said, listen, he's not talking to us, me or Jimbo. He's talking to his supporters.
Right.
Alabama supporters. Guys, we need to do this better.
That's why he did it?
Yes.
Yeah.
To wake up his people.
Yeah. That could be, right? Like,
well, that's what Deion said.
He had to light
He's not upsetting me. He shouldn't upset Jimbo. He's getting after his
boosters.
Like, he's going after his boosters for not stepping up to get these players
in. Hey, with all the money we do have down here and all the Alabama pride, where is it? Let's go. I could see that. But at the expense of, calling out and actually naming kids, it is kind of BS.
Yeah.
It just makes me laugh when someone as unbelievably powerful and successful as Nick Saban stoops to that. But maybe that's why he's so unbelievable and so powerful. I don't know. I love how Jimbo called him a narcissist too.
Nick Saban greater than or worse than Coach K?
Oh, greater than.
I don't put him in the Coach K sort of mold.
Yeah, because Coach K doesn't belong next to Nick Saban.
Well, why do you say that, though?
I mean, agree.
In terms of wins,
I think it's tougher to do in football than it is in basketball.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, I think there's just more got to recruit, and there's more that you've got to worry about.
I'd agree with that.
Than you do in basketball. You get three studs in basketball, you've got yourself a party and a half.
I'd very much agree with that. That's true. And I think Coach K's harder to take, isn't he?
I think there's more phony sort of pomp and circumstance with Coach K than there is with Saban.
Yeah, I think that's fair. There is a lot of phony baloney stuff with Coach K, more so maybe even than Saban. 312-332-3776 if you've got a thought. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We're going to crosstalk coming up with Waddle and Sylvie. Sylvie said he's got something special for us, too. He's always got something special.
What's he got special?
I don't know. I think he's going to stir the pot with Cap again, and they're together next week for the switch, like spring trading.
Spring trading again?
Yeah, that's going to be...
Is this the first time they've been together?
Yeah. Talk about some fireworks.
Weren't Sylvie and Cap kind of tight when he was at WGN?
I don't know.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, I know, but like...
As a long, long time ago.
I don't know, Merck.
Yeah, I mean, Sylvie's kind of fought with everybody over
Yes, that's true.
Hasn't he, though?
A little bit.
He's always got
Even Sylvie and I have gotten into it over the years.
Yeah.
And we're like extremely close friends.
Right.
You know?
And you guys get into fight? I just had started, and you did something to Sylvie's... At his desk or something like that, and he came in, or maybe it was vice versa.
No, it was vice versa. He pissed me off because he thought I did something to him, and I didn't. It was one of our sales guys, and then he did one of his patent something around my desk, and I remember you stormed into
the office. Wow, you were hot.
Yeah. I was hot. You know what I remember? I remember, like, without going too personal, like, it was a bad couple of weeks. I remember it, Merck. And, like, I had all this, I was just telling Merck this the other day, like, for way too long I did the Costanza, the Serenity Now, where you just bury it down deep.
Right, right.
But then it explodes.
Yeah.
It's not a good practice.
Yeah, it's not good to bury stuff.
Merck, it was one of those situations where it had been, like, a really rough couple of weeks, and then, like, I got in and I was so mad because it wasn't even at Sylvie or what he did, but it was just the thing that finally, like...
The fuse, I guess, broke the camel's back.
Right, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then Sylvie and I got into it, yeah.
And you wanted a piece of it.
But we're great friends.
Yeah.
But even, I mean, on the air, there are times where he just, you know, he has a way of doing that. You know, he'll call you out, and sometimes you need it. It's all right. But, yeah, this is going to, Cap, I don't think wants anything to do with this next week.
Why?
He doesn't want to do a show with him. And he's
calling in sick?
Ooh, can you imagine? You don't think Cap would call in sick.
Well,
now, Cap's got too much. He's not calling sick.
I'm just asking.
He's not going to duck that.
There might be an interview with Sammy Sosa that suddenly rears its ugly head, you know?
What's he doing interviewing LeVar Ball? I thought we were done with that.
Oh, no. Ball's got the insight on everything. Yeah.
Are we done with that?
I mean, he did have some good information there, right?
What did he have? What was the information that came out of that?
Well, I think we have some of the sound bites on the screen.
Where are they, Merck? I don't know. Not on my screen.
On Cap's screen, maybe?
You want me to go to Cap's page? Which page, Charlie? Do you know?
I know he talked about that the rehab, I don't know if they were exactly pleased with how the rehab was going here, and now he's back in L.A.
Good. That's not good.
He also, I think, was talking a little about Zach.
Yeah, well, I saw that. Yeah. What's he talking about Zach for? Come on. They should go. You should give him the Will Smith. Keep Zach LaVine's name out your bleeping mouth.
Oh, did you see that Chris Rock is, they've invited him back to host the Oscars?
Did you really? Yeah. Will Smith won't be there.
It doesn't seem like it, though. I mean.
I got to find Cap's page, Cap and Hoodie.
Out in the streets, there were violence.
Oh, is he going to do it? Is Chris Rock going to do it?
Well, he hasn't made a commitment to them yet. Mm. One way or the other. I'm just saying the invitation was out there for him.
Right.
You brought it up. I figured I'd talk
about it. Thank you. Yeah. Let's go to Mo in Frankfurt. Hey, Mo.
Hey, Mo.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. Hey, I'm going to make it quick. You know, you guys are talking about the DIY, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I taught my son. And Merck, listen to this. I taught my son, he's only 7 years old, how to change a tire.
Boy.
My wife and him, they were going to soccer practice. They get a flat tire, and she calls me. What do? I said, call the AAA, and he'll come out. Well, the guy's going to be an hour and a half late. So my son's like, I can do it. I'm like, no, you can't.
Mm.
Guess what? He told her where to put the jack,
awesome.
How to do the lug nuts, how to do it, make sure you cross unscrew and cross screw it back in.
Right.
By the time they did it, it took them a half hour.
Beautiful.
The guy came up to change the tire.
Beautiful. I mean, see, Mo, that's parenting. That's excellent parenting, Mo.
That's right.
And Merck, his 7-year-old can change a tire.
Yeah. I mean, boom, boom, Mo, boom, thanks, boom, buddy. Boom.
And always loosen the lug nuts while the car is
on the ground.
On the ground.
Right. Well, you got leverage. You don't want the tires spinning on you.
Yes. Well, and you also don't want to, God forbid, you do anything to jolt that jack in the wrong way and the whole damn thing. Falls.
That boy, there's the jacks that they make nowadays.
Bunch of trouble. Merc, we're going to teach you, Merc. We're going to go out to the garage one day after work, find a nice flat spot. Okay, Merc?
Yeah. Yeah,
he's ignoring.
We're gonna do it.
This is where he starts to ignore
us. I'm not gonna. I don't need to learn this. I've got AAA. I'm good. I got a lot going on. Okay,
a lot going on.
By the way, Brett, final was last night. The last high school game.
Their last freshman game. Yeah,
the last freshman game. Yeah. Two for three.
Two good knocks. The other one was a line out.
What can that kid hit or what? Yeah, four hits in his last. Merc, four hits in his last
three games. Yeah,
okay. Where does he go to high school?
Deerfield.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. You got to give him a little love.
Four hits.
Give Deerfield some love.
Four hits in his last two games.
Nice.
That boy.
He's raking. We call that raking.
Yeah. Patrick's in D.C. He wants to make a bet with you, Yerk. Hey, Patrick.
Come on, D.C. What's happening, Pat?
Hey, Yerk. Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on our bet about the Champions League final.
Yeah, it's coming up here. I got Real Madrid. You're taking Liverpool?
Yeah. Do you want to do... I don't have the good kids kind of money, but do you want to do
45% of the man I used to be? Go ahead.
Do you want to do winner donate $25 to JD's fund?
Oh, that's nice. Yeah,
which one's his? And loser donates $100.
Sure.
Oh, that's great.
I like it. Patrick, it's solid. Yeah. You want to do $25.50, $2,500 either way? It's good with me.
I like that, Patrick.
Awesome. Yeah, and also, let's do a prop bet, like, just between me and Yerk.
Okay, as far as what?
You pick the prop.
Right. Who scores first goal?
Ooh. All right, who do you got?
I'm going to go with Benzema.
Kareem Benzema.
Kareem Benzema.
Fire season. Yeah, I'm going to go with Mane.
All right, and the one of those two have to go.
Patrick, good work, and I like the idea of donating to
Sadio Mane
for the JD and the Vaughn McClure Scholarship Fund.
Sure, that's fine.
Together, which ESPN has really gotten behind. There's an event at Tau. We'll pass along some details about that.
Right.
Sarah Spain's going to come into town to host it.
The Spaniard.
Yes. And not come into town. Sarah lives here, but she's all over the place most of the time. She will be in town.
She travels.
She does.
Yes.
Sarah's on the move. Sarah will be in town.
She lives a nomadic lifestyle.
She will be in town to host it. I will get details on that. It's on my social. It's on my Twitter, actually. If you go to it, Rob Domofsky, I think, or maybe it was Wildy, one of the two, had a tweet about it. And I quote tweeted it. It's pinned on my Twitter timeline. If you want to get details on how you can be there that night and how you can, I think it's June 28th at Tau down here in the city. They're going to do a big fundraiser with ESPN for the Vaughn McClure and JD.
It's a big to-do.
Scholarship fund. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And so that's nice of Patrick. I like it. Let's go to Alex in Huntley. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good,
I just wanted to tap into the whole Waddle. I mean, Waddle. Yeah. I don't know why he's on
there. Cap and Sylvie.
With the whole Sylvie and Cap feud thing. Like, wasn't just not so long ago where Cat was bringing him soup when he was not feeling well?
Yes, he was.
Like, how much of a beef do they have if this guy's bringing him soup and all that?
I mean, what kind of beef is there? I mean, one guy was sick, he was ill, and soup showing up at the matzo ball soup.
Alex, thanks. I don't know. I think it's more of an on-air. They don't like being together, or Cap doesn't want to be around him on the air. I think
away from the radio station, it's fine. They
think
socialize.
So. Yes.
But doing a show together,
yes.
They don't want to be on together.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
It's interesting. You know, the matzo ball soup, Jewish penicillin. You know that.
Is that
you?
Right?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Mark? Is that good stuff? Like chicken noodle soup?
I tried it recently. It didn't work. Yeah.
No?
No.
Well, but he tried it.
I don't like matzo ball soup.
You don't like matzo ball soup?
I don't mind it. We had a delicatessen here.
It was awesome.
That was close. I used to get matzo ball soup all the time.
Dude, Ada's, man, the pastrami, remember how good?
Sweet and sour soup. Oh.
You know what we need? Like,
we need a
show one day.
We need to run over
a Manny's run. Like, let's do like a pre-show meeting.
Pastrami, a little bit of corned beef.
And the, what do they call them? The latkes? Is that what they call
them? Latkes, sure.
Potato pancakes.
Or to get a knish?
Dude, like, you go through that line at Manny's.
Knish.
And it's like old cafeteria style. It's like you're sliding the tray.
Right.
And they load up that corned beef sandwich mile high, and then you get one of those latkes and some spicy mustard.
When we were in Cleveland in 2016, do you know where we went to get the same thing? Do you remember the name of that delicatessen out there? And it's famous. If you're from Cleveland, you've been there.
Cleveland.
Slimans.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Do yourself a favor and have some kishki, too. That is
kishki?
That's
yeah.
I love it.
Kishki.
It's hard to describe how it tastes, but it's so freaking good.
Well, what is it? What's in a kishki?
It's hard to explain what it tastes like, but
I didn't say what does it taste like.
I don't even know. It's like a stuffing. It's like a stuffing in a way. I'll look it up right now.
Let's find out what's in a kishki.
We're due for like a good pastrami.
You ever been to Katz's in New York? It's like the kind of famous one.
I've been to Carnegie. I've never been to Katz's.
The Carnegie Deli.
Katz's is famous though, Charlie. You're right. I have not visited.
All right, your kishki is made from flour or matzo meal, schmaltz, and spices.
You know what schmaltz is, right?
Sure.
That's chicken fat, right? Isn't it?
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
Schmaltz.
Schmaltz is chicken fat.
I'll do it. I'll try a schmaltz.
Oh, yeah. Schmaltz is good. Chicken fat. You can't go wrong with chicken fat.
Come on, man.
We're gonna talk White Sox and Yankees with Connor McKnight. His weekly visit with us to talk White Sox baseball.
You ever have chicken fat fries? You have duck fat fries.
Duck fat fries. Yeah, that's true.
Which one's better?
Duck fat fries are awesome. Nice and crispy. We'll be right back.
Working from home? We're back in the office. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Every Friday we talk White Sox baseball with Connor McKnight. He is our outstanding pre- and post-game host. And he will be back on the air later today with Len and DJ ahead of the White Sox and the Yanks starting a four-game set in the Bronx. Connor joins us now on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. And I know in Len's recap he had said maybe their biggest win of the season. Maybe not a stretch. You know, down 4-1, staring down the barrel at losing 3 out of 5 games of the Royals. Like, that would, you know, going to New York, that would not have felt good, Connor. That was a pretty big rally yesterday.
It was. It was a pretty big rally. I think you just look at the leader of this team, Tim Anderson. Take a look at the efforts that he put together in order to make that happen. He stole second, then third on back-to-back pitches. He walked twice for the first time in one game since July 5th, I think, of last year. You could tell that meant something different to him, that his approach was different, that even the starter of that day, Carlos Hernandez, you know, that guy couldn't have found home plate with a map. It was very difficult for him. And that's, you know, when you got a 9 ERA and things are going bad for you, you need a new map. So to watch that happen, to watch the way the White Sox had kind of taken care of that and come back from it, plus the individual efforts, you know, outside of Tim Anderson. Luis Robert's got a 2-strike RBI knock. He's got an 0-2 homer with two RBIs on the board there. Yeah, I think that is a pretty big win. I think that is a pretty big win, especially given the opponent that's coming up.
And that opponent lost yesterday, but they've been unbelievable. That's just 10 losses on the year. The White Sox historically here in the last couple of years, I should say. I think we all we know the record. We've talked about it a lot. It's 44-20. Against left-handed starters. Cortez dominated them last week. Now, he's been very good, but is there some built-in advantage to seeing him in back-to-back weekends, and will they be more prepared for Nestor Cortez in the Big Apple tonight?
They ought to be. It's certainly better than facing a guy the first time around. You know, Cortez is a guy, you know, I called the game. It was really fun to watch him pitch despite the outcome. He moves the release point around. He adjusts the timing. He messes with guys. I mean, heck, the game took forever to start against Cortez because Tim Anderson and he were doing kind of they had a dance recital out there. Tim was in and out of the box, and Cortez was on and off the mound. It was fun to watch that kind of that psychological battle. I'll be real interested to see what the White Sox, especially the right-handers, are looking to do against that cutter inside, something that Cortez throws a lot. Cortez got a couple extra inches off the plate on a lot of sliders away from right-handers, was able to get that call. Wonder if that's going to be there tonight. I'm not taking anything away from Cortez. It's just he earned that expanded strike zone, as we talk about a lot, and got those calls. See if the White Sox are willing to allow him to gain those extra inches. This is a really big test, I think, for an offense that struggled against this guy in particular, but has also shown signs of growth over the last couple of weeks, albeit in fits and spurts. I wouldn't say a must win necessarily. So few of these games are, but this is a must show improvement, right? I do think it's fair to say this guy befuddled you last time out and you let him get really deep into a ball game. I think it's fair to say this offense shouldn't let that happen again. Whether you win that game or not, I don't know. But a better approach is something you look for.
Yeah. Are we starting to see the signs that Jose Abreu is going to be the former MVP again?
I think we've seen those signs, Yerk, for a while. And why they haven't manifested themselves into results is crazy to me. I know you guys go through the batted ball stats quite a bit, and I love you for it. The hard hit rate for Jose Abreu has been there. The line drive rate is down. The walk rate is up. The strike zone discipline is up a little bit, and yet the ground balls are still there for him. I think we are starting to see those signs. I think when he starts, you know, when Jose Abreu starts using right field on pitches on the inner third is when you start to see him kind of understand the timing of that swing. I don't think we're at that point yet, but we are seeing hard hit balls. You saw the RBIs against, you know, in big spots, not that RBIs are a measurement of how good a player is or isn't necessarily. But in big spots, you saw that guy deliver against the Royals. Hope to see more of that. I think it's coming around, but you know that's kind of the thing about this White Sox offense, whether it's Abreu, whether it's Pollock, whether it's Grandal, Moncada to a lesser extent because he was hurt for so long. There are a couple hitters here who are showing signs of getting there. They need one or two guys to just be there alongside Tim Anderson and Luis Robert at this point. That's kind of why this has been such an aggravating process here through the first 30 so games, almost 40 now.
According to StatCast, Jose Abreu, with 154 plate appearances in the season, has a hard hit rate of 57.3%. That is fourth best in baseball behind Aaron Judge, Jordan Alvarez, and Wilson Contreras. So they're two.
And those
two
guys are doing
point.
Well this season.
They are.
Those are the three hitters.
That's right. And then you know who's fifth is Stanton. So, and it's no surprise they're always going to be. You could go back and look at the StatCast data and the hard hit balls year by year ever since it started. And like Stanton's name is basically, it's like looking at a NBA, basketball reference page, all time scoring, and like just see Michael's name everywhere. Right. Like that's Stanton. Yeah. He just obliterates the baseball. So Judge and Stanton are in the top five. I think I read a stat that Judge, Stanton, and Rizzo are the first trio of Yankee teammates ever. Considering their proud history, too, it's impressive ever to have at least 10 home runs through their first 35 team games. This is a scary, good offense. How do you expect them to pitch this weekend in New York, Connor?
Well, it's going to be a tough one because the rotation lines up Keuchel, then Cueto, then Kopech Friday, tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. Kopech's coming off paternity, as you guys know. Cueto came up and threw an excellent game against the Royals. And it wasn't just that he was messing with doing his own version of timing, screwing around with all that kind of stuff. He hit all four quadrants of the strike zone. He was up and away with all of his pitches that needed to be there. He was down and in with all the pitches that needed to be there. I was stunned with how well he pitched.
It was good.
And not to say that I didn't think he was. And it wasn't just a guy, you know, working around with smoke and mirrors. It was good stuff and well-located stuff. Dallas Keuchel threw a really great, maybe his best start, probably his best start of the year against the Yankees his last time out. He was able to hang that changeup away from right-handers on the outside corner of that strike zone and then bring guys out after it. That was a huge pitch for him in that start against the Yankees. All that said, that sets up for fairly successful outings. If you get hit by the Yankees, like raise your hand if you've been hit hard by the Yankees this year. Oh, all of you? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we can necessarily judge it all there. I think, again, like the first 40 games of this season, the ask isn't so much on the pitching staff to keep us close and the defense to, you know, throw the ball over. The offense needs to provide some margin for error here. It just does.
Yeah, good call.
And I know hitters 1 through 9 know that, right? The Sox have been talking about this. This isn't something I'm inventing. This is something they're talking about. And that Tony's talked about after, you know, two losses to Kansas City. This offense needs to float the rest of this team sooner rather than later. I think that's on them as much as it is the pitching staff to keep the Bronx Bombers in the ballpark.
It's a good call. Real quick before we let you go. The Anderson Ozzie thing, like, are we going to look back and say, okay, much ado about nothing? Did they handle it properly, and is it behind them?
I believe we will look back and say much ado about nothing. I think it's interesting. This has been pointed out in a couple other places, and I brought it up on the post game show. You know, Ozzie wanted him to play the other night, and I get it. I hear you. It is so clear how much better this team is when Tim's in the lineup. However, he missed that game. Came back and played maybe his best game of the season on offense and defense in the next game. Maybe you don't get that if you've played all both of the games the night before. Like, the reason you need rest may well be so he can put performances like that together and put a team on his back. In this day and age, I don't begrudge teams for having a whole program, a whole system set up as to when and who needs to rest in a long season like this. And think about where you'd be just as an organization. You know, if you and Yerk sat down before the season started, and you're like, all right, this guy needs X amount of rest. This guy needs this amount of rest. We can only get this many, all that. And then you threw that out, that whole carefully planned thing out because the season didn't go your way in the first month. What kind of organization would you be, if you're bailing on plans like that? It wouldn't be, it's process over results in this game. And I think you saw both answers kind of right there for you with Tim Anderson not playing that one night and putting his team on his back the next.
Connor, thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend, all right?
We'll see you, boys.
Talk to you next week. There's Connor McKnight every Friday with us. Mike North has the bonus play, and we'll give away Wolves tickets coming up next.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Next 8 minutes, we'll give away Wolves playoff tickets. If you want to go see their game Saturday night, they got another one Sunday afternoon. ChicagoWolves.com for playoff tickets as they take on Milwaukee now through two series. So it's on. Wolves playing great. Playoff hockey is alive and well in Chicago. How about it, York? Let's get the bonus play from Mike North. The new episode of The Odds Couple is up on the ESPN Chicago app. It is smoking hot. We talk a little NHL. A lot of basketball, some MLB futures markets, baseball for the weekend, Preakness picks from Jim Miller, all that fun stuff on this week's edition of The Odds Couple. So get the ESPN Chicago app and you can catch up on our latest episode. And Mike North has the bonus play now. What's up, Mike?
What's up, fellas? What's going on?
Everything is good.
How are you, Mikey?
I already listened, Carm. It's outstanding.
I love it.
As
fantastic.
Usual.
Of course,
yeah,
it is.
I'm getting ready to jack it up again. When the PGA gets a little dull. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to have a lull this afternoon. You'll have time. That's right.
Oh yeah. And by the way, all Rory has to do is pretend it's Sunday and he's down by 10 and he'll win this thing going away. Believe me when I tell you that. But it was great to hear Connor McKnight. My opinion, Tim Anderson should have played that second game. You don't know what he's going to do, but maybe he would have done what he did the next day in the second game of that doubleheader, but it doesn't matter anymore, does it? But Ozzie hopefully understands where I was coming from when he and I had our brief to do. It sounded so familiar when he said to me, North, I know you have a job to do. He said the same thing to Tim Anderson, so it was absolutely awesome. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen, because yes, last week we were 1-1, but we had a great week on the Odds Couple.
We did.
And today we were talking about a game, and we were talking about Dallas and Golden State. And I said at the end, it might be a good bet to go on both ends. You have Golden State minus 260, you bet 100. You got to bet 260 to win 100. So if you lose, you're in a little bit of trouble. But you could also take Golden State minus to 260 and take Dallas plus the 6. I think you got a chance of winning by 4 or 5 and winning both ends of the bet.
I like it winning both. And I like Dallas, too. Mike and I talked about it. They're 25-10 straight up following a loss this year. They've made good adjustments in the playoffs. I think Luka's going to be better. So I like that. You could kind of double dip and hopefully hit them both, right?
Yeah. And then I said, look, okay, maybe the worst thing that happens 1-1. Okay. And hopefully the one that you win is Golden State, okay? Because you don't want to get soaked on that on that money line. But I got to come up with something else for the guys. And tonight we got a baseball at its finest, ladies and gentlemen, the Braves and the Marlins. 217 and 20. Miami 17 and 20. The Braves are 17 and 21. Morton going against a guy named Trevor Rogers. Never heard of him. I read up on him. They both got ERAs in the mid-4s. I think people still look at the Braves like it's Freddie Freeman's team. Mm. And, boy, how you let him go. I don't care what you had to give him. You had to get him to stay. It's not working out with Olsen. He's in a bit of a slump. He's still a good ball player. But there's pressure to follow a guy like Freddie Freeman.
Sure.
I like the Marlins tonight plus the 110 on the money line to go along with, of course, Golden State money line and Dallas plus 6.
Lots of action. Love it. Thanks, Mikey. Happy
wagering,
buddy.
All right, guys. Give away those tickets. I'll talk to you.
See you, buddy. There's Mike North at North to North on Twitter. Marlins, sneaky good pitching, man. I'm telling you. And Rodgers has not pitched great this year, but they got some sneaky good pitching for sure. Let's give away the Wolves tickets. Let's say caller 15 right now. You are the winner. If you would like to go tomorrow night's game, we got to, these are four-pack, Merck. Do I have that right? Four-pack of tickets. Please make sure you can use them. Caller 15, you will win 312-332-3776. Yerk, give us your Preakness pick, please.
1-4-5-8. The 8's 3 to 5.
1-4-5-8.
Right. Simplification over secret oath, over early voting, and Epicenter is in there. Play a trifecta box. Hopefully things get. Hopefully Epicenter finishes fourth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I like the one. I like simplification at 13-1.
Okay, you nailed Secret Oath in the Philly,
the Kentucky Oaks.
In the Oaks.
Yeah,
she won. She's racing in this one. One of the three favorites. Right? It's only a 9-horse race, obviously.
Right? But she's 8-1 right now. She started 9-2, 8-1 right now.
We all. I shouldn't say we all, but lots of us that have grown up here in Chicago, we especially, you know, me growing up west, you know, Berwyn, Naperville, I live in Western Springs now. I know lots of people that graduated from Fenwick that have students of their own at Fenwick.
Yeah.
I will be betting Fenwick on that reason alone, just for all the Chicagoans. You go, oh, there's a horse named Fenwick. There is 50-1. So
the wild card is Creative Minister. There's only three races you could take a look at. She's won her last two. It's been in different types of competition. She's stepping up in class. She's the wild cardness. The two is a wild card. I'm kind of cautious about the two.
Did Merck just tell me to give the Wolves tickets away?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Carmen. That's my bad.
Yeah. He's sleeping.
What did you say? I totally missed it.
Caller 15. Are you over there? I'm just bad.
That was bad.
Tyler and Sylvie and Charlie are all laughing. Thanks to Charlie Blevins. Thanks to Randy Merkin for helping us. Yeah, we already gave away the Bill Burr tickets, Merck, and now we've given away the Wolves tickets. Caller 15 wins. Thanks to Luke Pergandy, Connor McKnight, and Mike North. And we're coming right back. We are going to crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie. Charles Barkley has the final word, brought to you by Wendy's.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word
on Carmen and Yurko. That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.